Hi everyone, I'm Arun Vanagopal in for Tanzina Vega, who's on maternity leave. This is The Takeaway. Good to be with you today as the battle continues.
Mr. Chief Justice, I send a question to the desk.
The chair will operate on a rebuttable presumption that each question can be fully and fairly answered in 5 minutes or less, end quote. The transcript indicates that the statement was met with, quote, laughter, end quote.
Is that going to be the new norm for impeachment? You put an impeachment together in a couple of weeks, we don't like what the president did, we wrap it up and we send it up here and say, now go figure it out.
A corrupt Ukrainian oligarch who was paying our vice president's son and his son's business partner millions of dollars.
Let us stay focused. This doesn't have anything to do with president's children or the Biden's children. This is about the president's wrongdoing.
Withheld that official act to solicit foreign interference in a 2020 election. That is not acceptable in America.
What did Mulvaney mean when he said quid pro quo? What did Bolton mean when he said drug deal?
If we call John Bolton, I promise you we're calling Hunter Biden too.
Even if everything in Bolton's book happens to be true, I still do not believe that that rises to the level of the impeachable offenses that the House has charged the president with.
It would be absurd to have the Senate trying to consider, well, was it 48% legitimate interest and 52% personal interest, or was it the other way? Was it 53% and 46%? You can't divide it that way.
A new phase in President Trump's impeachment trial has begun. Yesterday, senators began questioning House managers and President Trump's attorneys about the president's contact with Ukraine. Congressman Schiff led the House managers.
This body should not accept, nor should the American people accept, the idea put out by the president's lawyers today that it is perfectly fine, unimpeachable, for a president of the United States to say, hey, Russia, or hey, Ukraine, or hey, China, I want your help in my election.
Meanwhile, the president's attorney, Alan Dershowitz, made his case as to why a quid pro quo in this case would not be an impeachable offense.
If a president does something which he believes will help him get elected in the public interest, that cannot be the kind of quid pro quo that results in impeachment.
In other words, if the president wants it, he should just have it. That's as diplomatic a take as I can offer. You've been watching this whole spectacle along with us. We asked you to weigh in on what you've seen so far in the trial and what questions you have.
Hi, this is Barry from Minneapolis. How is it possible that our senators are even arguing about whether to call witnesses? Really? Even TV trials have witnesses. If you don't want to hear what the witnesses have to offer for evidence, please just stick your fingers in your ears.
Hi, this is Dave Gill from Seattle. My question is, why can't the Chief Justice intervene and impose standard rules such as allowing witnesses and evidence? Why is the Chief Justice even there if he is not actually presiding?
This is Reagan from Omaha, and I am wondering why in the beginning of every session of Congress that I have listened to during the impeachment, there is a Christian prayer said. My understanding is that we do not have an official religion, and there is a separation of church and state. So why is this read out? Why aren't all prayers read out or none?
For some answers to all that and analysis of this last week in impeachment, we go back to Max Kuttner, a journalist covering impeachment, Russia probes, the FBI, and the Justice Department, as well as Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief at the Huffington Post. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amanda, you heard that unbelievable statement by Alan Dershowitz. It's hard to overstate how blatantly self-serving this argument is, isn't it?
It's an incredible argument. I mean, it's so incredible that a lot of Republican senators afterward were not even going there. They were not willing to say that they supported it or embraced it. But essentially, you're saying that the president can do almost anything as long as he believes that if it helps his reelection, as long as he believes that it's in the public interest. And Trump believes that the public interest lies in him getting elected. Therefore, the president can do almost anything. It's a mind-boggling argument.
That's interesting. So, Max, you're also seeing Republicans distancing themselves from the Dershowitz defense.
Absolutely. As Amanda said, Republicans aren't agreeing with this. They're distancing themselves. Certainly, constitutional law scholars like Neil Katyal are distancing themselves and saying this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to them and scratching their heads. This morning, I saw the hashtag Dershowitz logic was trending in obviously a sarcastic way. So this argument didn't make sense to a lot of people. And even by this logic, Watergate was not an impeachable offense because it was done to help Nixon win re-election. So this left a lot of people scratching their heads.
Amanda, how would you characterize the arguments we've been hearing from the president's defense team overall?
Well, it's interesting. They've changed. And I think they've changed in part because of John Bolton, who's just thrown a wrench in this sort of what was supposed to be this smooth acquittal of Trump is what Republicans were hoping. You know, for so long, we heard Republicans say there was no quid pro quo. And now it's changing a little bit. And you're hearing essentially, well, if there was quid pro quo, so what?
What's wrong with quid pro quo?
Exactly. You know, you have the Dershowitz argument, but then you even have arguments that stop short of that, saying, look, the president didn't really do anything wrong. It's not like it's unconstitutional. It's not like he's breaking a law or, you know, there's no crime. So, you know, this is just sort of vague and fuzzy. There's a not enough there. But you're not hearing them say the famous no quid pro quo line quite as much anymore.
Max, tomorrow is the big day in the trial, right?
Yeah, this could be a historic day. This is when the witness vote will happen. And of course, it would actually be unprecedented to not have new witnesses. In the Andrew Johnson impeachment, there were 36 new witnesses called.
Going back to the 19th century here? Mm-hmm.
Of course. In the Clinton impeachment, there were 3 new witnesses called, including Monica Lewinsky. Mm. And so the Trump lawyers' argument earlier this week that the Senate shouldn't be litigating what the House didn't do and doing the work that the House didn't do and calling new witnesses, that doesn't really hold up. It would actually be unprecedented to not have new witnesses.
Now, Max, John Bolton's forthcoming book has really solidified his role in the trial as someone who could help the Democrats with their arguments. Break down for us some of what's in this manuscript and how it could be used.
So the manuscript says that Trump told him that he would only release the money to Ukraine if Ukraine announced investigations into Biden. This is the quid pro quo that we've been hearing from other witnesses, but all of that was secondhand or thirdhand, and that's a point that Trump's lawyers have made. This is secondhand and thirdhand. So the Bolton book would change that. The Bolton book says that this was firsthand knowledge, and so for that reason, Democrats really want to hear from him, and for that reason, Republicans don't want to hear from him, among other reasons.
Amanda, how are they saying, or how are they dismissing the validity of the John Bolton, I guess, testimony?
I mean, it's really funny. You have Democrats on one side sort of arguing about the facts of the impeachment case, and you have Republicans on the other side essentially saying, we don't even want to know the facts. You know, Republicans have been saying, like, look, we haven't seen the manuscript. This is just news reports based on the manuscript. So we want to see the manuscript. So the question is, well, why don't you just ask John Bolton, since he wrote the book himself, why don't you just call him and ask him questions yourself? And they're saying, well, look, we don't know if he's a relevant witness yet, so because we haven't seen the manuscript. So they're thinking of all the ways possible that they can get out of actually calling John Bolton and questioning him. Obviously, he's a relevant witness. He was national security advisor. He had direct conversations with the president. You've had these other witnesses testify that they believe Bolton knew what was going on and would have relevant information. You have the manuscript, which reportedly says that Bolton had direct knowledge and that Trump told him that the money was being held up because of these investigations, including into the Bidens. John Bolton is a relevant witness. Republicans know that, which is why they don't want to call him, because he could have very damaging information.
Amanda, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said yesterday that he doesn't think he has the votes from Republicans to call witnesses. What are you hearing from Republican senators who at one point did seem open to calling witnesses?
Yeah, it's looking dire for witnesses. One sort of shot yesterday was Senator Cory Gardner from Colorado, who is considered a possible vote for witnesses because he's in a more moderate state and he's up for re-election. But yesterday he said that he didn't think witnesses were needed. And Schumer admitted that it's going to now be tough to get four Republicans to side with calling witnesses, which looks good for Mitch McConnell. And there's even, I saw a report in Axios that there was some speculation that maybe Mitch McConnell, when he said that he didn't think he had the votes to block witnesses, you know, he knew that would leak to the press. It was a way to get Republicans anxious and get them to start coming out and saying they don't want witnesses. So there is a very good chance that this will be an impeachment trial where the Senate, you know, they say they're a jury and they don't actually hear from any new witnesses.
Max, is it clear what kind of pressure is being brought to bear on these sort of middle of the road Republican senators?
Well, there's a lot of pressure from Democrats. The line that we were hearing from people like Chuck Schumer in recent days has been that they'll have to answer to their voters. That's kind of the angle that they're taking. But, you know, as Amanda said, this has changed throughout the week with first Republicans saying that they weren't confident that they had the votes. Now they're saying they do. Schumer is saying it's not more likely than not. So tomorrow, if the motions don't carry tomorrow, this could move on to acquittal. But there are a handful it only takes four Republican votes to get that witness motion to carry.
But what kind of pressure are they getting from the right?
Well, I think that they're getting pressure from the right, certainly to stick with the Republicans and to not, you know, side with the Democrats on this. And you are having a lot of Republican lawmakers tweeting out and talking to reporters and saying that it's really time to move on from this and that to drag it out with witnesses would not be in anyone's benefit. Certainly, President Trump has a reason to get this over with New Hampshire Democratic primary next week, with State of the Union next week, and Iowa caucuses next week.
Amanda, real quick, there were some question cards that senators were submitting to Chief Justice Roberts. Has this process of questioning even provided anything of substance during this impeachment process?
For the most part, no. But I would say the most substantive questions have come from those senators who are sort of more on the line. Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski. Those questions actually have produced new information and sort of revealing stuff.
Amanda Terkel is the Washington bureau chief at the HuffPost, and Max Kuttner is a journalist covering impeachment, Russia probes, the FBI, and the Justice Department. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.